going to guide you into a meditation, and I would leave it up to you how you want to participate, how deep you want to go. Because you might find it challenging. I try to be gentle, but these are very profound meditations and we have very little time, so I'm just giving you a little taste of what I've been doing the last 35 years. And I found very helpful, but please, if you find it's, don't go beyond the, push beyond the limit where you're feeling overwhelmed. But just, you can just listen as a, out of interest, or you can let it touch you a little bit, or you can plunge right in if you are up to it. But take good care of yourselves. So, sit comfortably but upright. And you can either close your eyes, or I usually suggest to keep them half open, like the eyes of a Buddha. Not focus on anything, but be vaguely aware of where you are. It helps you to stay in the room you're in, and then arrive in this room, in this group, in this body. In this very moment. And feel that you're alive. Feel the sensations in your body, your gross body, your subtle body energies. And try not to judge. Try not to change anything, just be aware of what is right now. Keep your senses open. It's quite all right that there's music out there. Let it go through you, don't fight it, don't. Pay attention to it, just keep returning with your attention on your body sensations, on your breath if you're used to it, or just on space, or becoming very spacious. Do it with a little inner smile, not taking yourself too seriously. You can't actually do anything wrong. In meditation, there's nothing to do. So you can't do it right either. Just be gentle with yourself. Now imagine that the moment of your own death has come now. You're probably lying in a bed, maybe at home, maybe in a hospital. Maybe your loved ones are around you and crying or hiding their feelings or doing whatever they would do. Maybe you're alone or just with strangers. And you're gradually losing control of your body. First you can't move anymore, then you can't speak. Your mouth becomes very dry. Breathing becomes difficult. And soon it will stop altogether. Oh dear. This is the next one. So how do you feel? How would you feel if this was really true now? What thoughts would go through your head? Now open your eyes again. Just a very quick dip into what can be very profound meditation, recommended to do daily. Yeah.
It's great.
It's really no reason to be afraid. It's good to prepare, not to go to that moment unprepared. And come back, open your eyes, feel your body that is alive. Feel your breathing, your heart is beating regularly. You can move, you can talk. You're free to go and leave the room if this is too much. You know, you're not dependent on someone for your basic needs. This is not to be taken for granted. This is a great privilege and it will end. One day, that's for sure. We don't know when, but we know that it will end and it's worthwhile preparing from now, as soon as possible. And it doesn't make you miserable, it actually makes you happier. You're miserable if you push it to the back of your mind, then it'll come back as shadow. And look around now, you're alive, so appreciate this moment that you're alive, you can move, all those things that you can do. You can speak. You're in a group of supportive people, you have friends to share this with. And now think about it, maybe we have time in the groups later to talk about it. What went through your mind if this had really been your last moment? Is there something you think, oh, I wished I'd done that. I wish I'd said sorry to my father or my daughter or whatever. You know, I wish I'd gone to Nepal once in my life. Bucket list. And then don't put it off. Do it. Now, this might be the last day, the last moment of your life. It's good to live like that. Okay. So again, we continue with our meditation. You already return to your breath or your body sensation, turn your mind inwards again. And now, first of all, focus. We're going to be focusing on sensations or feelings and how they keep us in this endless cycle of samsara and suffering. And it's very, very simple. Way it works, and very simple if we understand to actually reverse it. So you feel the sensations in your body, both physical, actual sensations and mental feelings. And they're either pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So first focus on a pleasant sensation, something that feels good. It doesn't matter if it's physical or whatever comes first. And notice how this feeling immediately is followed by the reaction of clinging, trying to hold on. Or worrying that it's not enough or that it'll go away. And watch how this reaction of clinging or attachment destroys the pleasure. Just see this process and see if you can differentiate between the first initial feeling, which is actually before the reaction, there's just a nice feeling, pleasure. And imagine if it could be possible to feel this without clinging, just gently, calmly, with open hands, as long as it lasts. And when it passes, you let go and get ready for the next feeling the next thought, the next movement in your mind. So take one or two breaths, just returning to what is now, whatever it is, anything that comes up in your mind. Just first become aware of it, then accept it, then let go. And then return to this moment, fresh and new. And see now maybe if you're aware of an unpleasant sensation, possibly this music. Maybe now I say it, you notice it. It's really disturbing, you can't meditate with music like that. You know, see if, I mean, maybe now we can play a little bit in case there was a really strong noise that is bothering us, or a pain, or a thought that keeps coming back. And see if you can differentiate between the unpleasant feeling and the reaction of, oh, I must do something, I must go and tell them to turn the music off or change the room, or do something that I don't have to hear it anymore, or whatever. That's actually the mind poison of aversion. So see if you can just hold the feeling lightly. And then return to this moment. And then the third one is impossible to do, but I tell you anyway, just for completeness, is becoming aware of this pull of unawareness. It's a contradiction in itself, but there's always a tendency in us that just wants to, doesn't want to know, leave me alone, I need a break. And see if you could, I mean, this is really advanced practice, if you could be aware of this pull into, this lure into ignorance, into unawareness, that just wants you not to know, not to wake up. Okay, we continue maybe without a break. If you need a moment, always in your meditation, it's good sometimes to refresh in your mind. To just maybe take a deeper breath, or open the eyes if you had them closed, and just become aware, come back into your physical body. I'm always advised to, that's why I'm advised to keep meditate with them, eyes slightly open, also ears open, senses open, to stay here. And then you can actually meditate for longer periods of time, but keep alternating between focusing and relaxing. And focusing and relaxing, maybe 2 minutes focusing, and then again just becoming very wide. Otherwise, you just get very tense or totally space out. Anyway, that's running out of time. Impermanence leading to emptiness. Return inwards again. Everything I love, I will lose at the moment of death. The more I hold on, the more I suffer. By becoming aware, I remove ignorance. by accepting, I remove aversion by letting go. I remove clinging. Become aware, accept, then let go of whatever arises in your mind. In this way, gradually, my mind becomes spacious and vast. Then I am free. Okay, come back. I think I have about 2 or 3 minutes left.
Five minutes left?
Good. Yeah, because there's not so many. Yeah, I know. But I started 2 minutes past. So this, I'm just giving you sort of little glimpses. But actually thinking about death is the quickest link to emptiness, to understanding emptiness, which is also fullness, which is the ground of all being, that which cannot be spoken about. There are many teachings. Now you can open your eyes, because there's another slide, quite an amazing one, the 108 peaceful and wrathful deities that might appear. The Tibetans say they appear for all beings, not just human beings, not just Tibetans, after death. I don't know, but just in case. It's good to have a look at them and see you could imagine that they're friends. They're amazing, helpless angels, or that they are actually part of your subtle body. And once your body is dissolved, then they appear to be outside, because there's no inside. There's no body left. Once you die... Anyway, there's a lot of teachings on that in Tibetan Buddhism about bardo, in between. And the bardos are different ones. One bardo is the in-between state between birth and death, also called life. Then there's a bardo of when you go to sleep until you wake up, which is where you can practice dream yoga and clear light. And then there's also the bardo of when you enter a meditative absorption and when you come out of it. That's also in another state. So Ken Wilber's used a lot of Tibetan Buddhism for states. But yeah, that's just information, and this is sort of just the glimpses of some of the different meditations that you can find in Tibetan Buddhism, and maybe in the future in integral Buddhism or integral religion. I don't know. I think it's good to be anchored in one religion, in one lineage, have one teacher or one lineage of teachers. But that's my personal preference, to get the depth, to get the roots. Oops. Caring for the old and sick in 3 minutes. This is my mother and my husband. You've seen him around. He has short hair now. I looked after my mother for 11 years. I moved in with her after my second 3-year retreat and was able, she had the strong wish to die at home. And she was able to, with hard work, especially the last year, was pretty tough. I was glad I had my husband there, and then at the end you get kind of insurance money so you can pay some people, but it's not much you get. And she was also very strong-willed, and she prepared incredibly well and thoroughly. So she was a great inspiration. She was a great challenge because she's so strong-willed. But I've also learned a lot about how to grow old and keep your dignity. And even if you lose your faculties, you don't have to lose your dignity. And she kept that. She kept working on herself until her last breath, literally. So I really feel I'm getting goosebumps all over that this was 1 year ago, pretty much exactly. That I've learned so much in that time. I would love to share that with others, and I just don't know yet how. I don't want to give workshops on how to die consciously. I don't know. I would like to. Yeah, we'll talk about that after. Yeah, I lived 25 years in a Buddhist community. That's my teacher, Agon Rinpoche, in front, who's also passed away. And there I saw a lot of people, during those 25 years, community members died of old age or young, of sicknesses, and all sorts, one suicide. But it was always somehow positive because there was something to do. There was a community that cared. I mean, you know, this community, there was humans, but a lot of, but there was a conscious way of dealing with death. And then when I came to Germany, I was shocked. I was shocked that, I have to wrap up now. I was shocked that how people die in Germany, in these old people's homes, these commercial homes that are built just to have a business, as a business, to make as much money as they can, which means keeping people alive for as long as possible.
It's a business.
So I keep saying this is not humane, this is not, for the Germans amongst us, not art, keine artgerechte Menschenhaltung. If there was an association for protecting humans the way animals are protected,
they should.
It would be outlawed. So that's I feel very strongly about that. It's a very strong vocation. Anyway, I was going to tell you the story of how I, the year and a half with my dad, who had been separated from my mother for 30 years, but I had a year and a half with him, also was able to be with him during his last breath and for 2 hours before and after, which was an amazing spiritual experience. It's very simple. Very rewarding. Yeah, and then I was just told you that was my mother and the way she died, and now in a beautiful cemetery. So the questions I have for our dialogue, which comes now, how do we learn to live together? How can we heal ourselves, our family, our society? How can we make conscious choices so that we don't have to have any regrets when the moment of our own death has come? And then we take Bettina's question, what's the purpose of aging, also into the rounds. Thank you.